Hi, good morning. I see by the ratio of women to men here at this gathering that the real decision makers of end-of-life care have come to find out what to do. When I was a little boy in yeshiva, my rabbeim taught me that life is infinitely precious, that every moment of life is precious, and that when people get sick, one has to do everything up until the last moment to prolong that precious life. As I got older and became a physician, some of that didn't necessarily ring true to me, and that was the tension that Rabbi Reese mentioned. In addition to my experience at Yeshiva University, I had the zchus to spend 2 years learning with Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was the Posek Hador and the Rosh Yeshiva of Mitzvta Tiferes Yerushalayim. Some of you may be aware that Rav Moshe spent much time doing Piskei Halacha on end-of-life issues and all types of medical ethics issues. And while I learned with him at that time and learned about the tshuvos that he engaged in, it was not until I became a physician myself and experienced what end-of-life issues really are that I realized how important and how critical it is to have sharp psak, real psak, applied to these end-of-life issues. Now, being in practice for over 30 years, I appreciate that the medical license to heal that physicians have, rapo yirapé, it's probably limited to those situations when refuah, or repair, is actually possible. If refuah, or repair, is not possible, then the physician's role as partner and effector of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans perhaps should be limited. Perhaps should be limited to palliative care. Physicians are confronted with very specific end-of-life issues, and they require sensitive and halakhically sharp responses. So what I'd like to do in the next few minutes is briefly outline a few of the critical end-of-life questions that come to fore in any physician's care and any family's interaction with end-of-life, and why we are having this special Yom Iyun to talk about when hospice care is appropriate, when hospice care is not appropriate, what is hospice care, the challenges of end-of-life care. But in order to appreciate why we even should be talking about hospice care, it's important to go beyond the story of Rebbe and talk about what's happening every day in our hospitals, unfortunately, to our family. So I'm going to outline a couple of real-life clinical situations, share with you what the questions are, share with you at least what I learned from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe, knowing that these particular issues are going to be dealt with in depth by the other speakers. So question one, does everybody need to be treated? Were my rabbeim in fourth grade and fifth grade right? Do you have to treat everybody? If a patient is terminally ill, if a patient is in pain, if a patient has no hope for survival, does that patient have to be treated? Does that cancer patient have to get the 10th round of chemotherapy? Who need not be treated? Well, Rav Moshe said that if somebody has intractable pain and is terminally ill with no hope of survival, then one need not treat that individual. But of course, as Rabbi Reese said, we cannot shorten life. We don't believe in euthanasia. So here is a response to my fourth grade Rabbeim, who said, treat everything all the time to the last minute. Rav Moshe's psak halacha said no. Rav Moshe is not alone in this arena, and there are people that argue with him. The famous Tzitz Eliezer thinks that you should, in fact, treat everybody. If somebody is a terminal patient, and the doctor comes in and says, nevertheless, we think we have to do surgery on this person for whatever reason, are you allowed to do surgery on a person in a terminally ill patient? Rav Moshe would say, well, it depends. If the person is not in pain and the person is terminally ill, one need not do surgery. However, if the person is in pain and the surgery is done to relieve pain, then yes. A very, very common question, one of the key questions, if a terminal patient, an Alzheimer's patient, a cancer patient, develops pneumonia, should you treat that pneumonia? Or should you let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take that person at that moment? What is the family's responsibility, the physician's responsibility? Should that person be given treatment? If that treatment is successful, it will at best return that individual back to the very sorry state that he or she was before the pneumonia. Well, Rav Moshe actually brings in a tremendous nuance, and that is, what does the patient want? It's not only what the doctor wants, it's not only what the family wants. What does the patient want? If the patient expresses that she doesn't want to live anymore, that he doesn't want to live anymore, then he feels that treatment can be withheld. However, if there is no pain whatsoever, then what's the big deal? Rav Moshe would say, yes, treat. So you have to listen to the patient, a novel concept, and you have to take a look at the whole medical situation. Another key clinical situation, should IV hydration be started in a terminal patient? Should tube feedings be started in a terminal patient? Let's say the patient has pain. Are we required to start that IV if the person can't eat anymore? Well, here Rav Moshe takes a more strict perspective and says, yes, hydration, feeding is a requirement of life, and you do have to start that IV hydration. Rabbi Reese mentioned the Chayashah. Chayashah is an individual who will not survive a year if left untreated. But if the person has a type of illness that only risky therapy, experimental therapy, can be utilized, are we allowed to use experimental therapy on a Chayashah, someone who we are reasonably certain is going to die within the year anyway? And the perspective that Rav Moshe had was that if it is a known therapy, even if it has some risk, but has statistically and scientifically been shown to be proven, yes, you can try that. On the other hand, if it's totally experimental, then one should not. So here we have the question of IV hydration, we have the idea of treating patients for pneumonia, we have the idea of surgery in a terminal patient, we have the issue of a Chayashah. What about the more tough ones? Should we put a terminal patient on a respirator? This is an end-of-life decision that comes all the time. Well, why are we doing that? If it is to prolong life, just so that the person should live a bit longer, then Rav Moshe would say, no, we're not required to start the respirator. On the other hand, if the person has oxygen hunger and is suffering, we're not allowed to let a person suffer, in which case we should put that person on a respirator. And finally, the last clinical question is the whole issue of do not resuscitate orders or do not intubate orders. Unfortunately, I would guess that many people in the audience today have been confronted with that in with a loved one. So a person who has terminal Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's dementia, terminal cancer, the question comes up if they're in a hospital, if their heart stops, the general approach anybody in a hospital is to do cardiopulmonary resuscitation. It's supposed to bang on their chest and pound on them and put bags on and put respirators on. Is that necessary? Is that allowed? Should one do it? Or is there a time or a role for a do not resuscitate order or a do not intubate order? I'm not going to try to answer these questions because our distinguished panel of speakers will address them, but I'm trying to frame the multitude of clinical situations that occur during the end of life that we need halacha to provide answers for. So there are challenges to the Jewish religious community, to the Torah world, that is confronting end-of-life issues. Challenge number one, having people, when they are still of sound mind, to make known what their personal values are and their personal wishes regarding end-of-life decisions, to make your own personal feelings known to your family and to your rough. Challenge number two, having families respect the wishes of their loved ones. As many of you may appreciate, when these end-of-life decisions are being made by family members, a lot goes into it. Sometimes halacha goes into it, too often not. Sometimes guilt goes into it. We have to be able to respect the wishes of our loved ones. Challenge number three, having community rabbis over the full spectrum of orthodoxy, from modern Orthodox to the Haredi community, fully trained on the Piskei Halacha of end-of-life issues, and not merely making statements, do everything or do nothing, just because they heard it, or it's in the air, or that's what they learned from their fourth grade Rebbe. This needs to be governed by Piskei Halacha. By the same token, challenge number five, having people rely on fully trained rabbis to offer that psak. We are not supposed to be making these decisions ourselves. We are supposed to go to a competent rav to give us a psak halacha. And finally, the last challenge, educating the community as we are today about the value of hospice and the value of quality end-of-life care. I'd like to share with you a quote I read yesterday by Dr. Shalom Carney. He wrote in an essay in the current issue of Tradition that the medical battle against mortality always ends in defeat. Yet, we do not spare the resources to avert the inevitable. So here is medicine. Here are people capable of so-called waging the battle against death. Ultimately, it is a fruitless battle for all of us. The challenge for us is to allow halacha to inform all of our decisions throughout our lives, just as it does from the time of birth to the time of death. And now I look forward for the panel and the speakers to actually confront these issues. Thank you.